Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Everything's a coo 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 ca-choo coo ca-choo coo 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 coo. Everything's a coo and it's gonna get cooer.
Not bad, Robert. Not
Thank
bad
you.
At all.
Cool.
Although, for the purposes of what we're talking about now and the president and the possible coup, well, what people are calling the possible coup, a friend of mine, a researcher who I respect, pointed out that actually what seems to be happening is more of a putsch, because a coup would require the backing of the military, and it's far from clear that he has that. So
what's the definition of a putsch?
It's a coup, but, you know, not quite.
It's a light coup.
A coup light.
A diet coup.
Come
it's
on.
It's an overthrow of the government, but generally without, like, the backing of a chunk of the government, right? Like, when Hitler tried the beer hall putsch, like, he didn't have, like, the German military shot at him repeatedly.
Nice.
Putsches are easier to stop as a rule.
And probably easier to start.
Especially with
these
clowns.
I mean, you know, my motto is always be putchin'.
Mm-hmm. Always be putchin'.
Always be putchin'. I love
putch yourself, putch each other.
Putch everything. Putch it all.
Putch everything.
America 2020.
Putch it real good. Dun, 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 dun.
When a problem comes along, when a government comes along, you must putch it. Putch it good.
We could do this all day.
This is a podcast.
We shouldn't, though.
This is what we should have done for the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast.
Year. I'm just saying.
Yay.
The name of this podcast is called Worst Year Ever. You know it. You love to see it. I'm Katie.
I'm Cody. Do you see it in your ears?
I do. He's Robert. He does not introduce himself. He's Robert.
No, I am the artist formerly known as Robert.
He's the artist formerly known as Robert. All right.
It's a lot.
So since we last heard our voices together, we called the election prematurely, but not that prematurely, because a little while later we were correct.
By a mere hours.
The Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. has beat Donald...
Robinette Biden Trump.
Robin Biden Trump for the position of King of America.
I love
long may he reign for four
long
years.
May he reign, or until, I don't know, the coup or whatever.
Yeah.
Vibes were pretty cool when people found out.
Yeah, people were happy, and it's good when people are happy.
It is good when people are happy. It is hard to, how do I phrase this? I don't have to be delicate about it. Most of our listeners agree with us. It's hard to watch people celebrate, Joe and Kamala and forget the context of who they are or their background. For me and for a lot of people, it was a celebration of defeating Trump, which was
a loser. He lost. He's a loser.
Yeah. It's a powerful and emotional experience.
Yeah. It's hard to celebrate the Democrats when they're the same stupid party that reelected Chuck Schumer.
Yeah. We'll talk about that.
It's just... Yeah, I think that a lot of us grappled with that this weekend. Like, there is a joy at seeing Trump lose. For me, I felt joy. Mm-hmm. I felt joy looking at people celebrating in the streets.
Yeah.
I cried a lot.
Seeing the Proud Boys sad. Oh,
seeing the Proud Boys sad made me cry.
So that photo of Trump sad boy in the car.
But it was hard. It's hard to also see people waving Biden and Harris flags. Knowing that these same people, at least on paper, are for all of these progressive things that we want to see happen, but they maybe don't realize what it means to be wholeheartedly pro-Biden and Kamala.
Yeah, it's interesting. Joy for their loss and enjoying the losers lose. Joe Biden ushered in the bad period that we just voted away. Mm-hmm. And his goal, and we'll talk about this a little bit too later, seems to be to reset the country to the conditions that were around as soon as we elected the guy like, that we wanted to get rid of.
Do y'all know what edging is?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that that's what we might like. One of the possibilities is obviously that Joe Biden leads us to a more competent fascist who ushers in a nightmare hellscape that makes the Trump years look like a fucking walk in the park. Another option is that Biden ushers in another incompetent fascist who fucks mm-hmm. around for 4 years and gets kicked out. And we're just edging our way into
back
fascism.
And forth. Yeah,
but we
yeah.
never quite go in. We don't ever do the electoral equivalent of coming, which is mm-hmm. electing Adolf Hitler.
Right.
I shouldn't say that. Anyway, sorry. Back to you, Cody.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Now I gotta. Ooh. Yeah, no, that's just it's something that it's fine. But that will be a thing to be reminded of from now until whichever the scenarios that Robert laid out happen. One thing that I also did was just the funniest thing to me on that day. Because, you know, the honking, the cheering, all this stuff. It's like, oh, everybody's so happy. That's nice. We don't get a lot of that. We don't get a lot of, like,
absolutely.
Amazing wins. Mm. But even in the sense of, like, you know, we got 9/11. the closest like thing to celebrate was Osama bin Laden dying. Like that's the victory we got.
Yeah.
We don't have a moon landing. We don't have like a big celebration. And it was really cool to see people just
see
like
that.
Full of joy in the streets.
Yeah.
One thing that was very funny to me amidst that scenario, every once in a while seeing like a Biden-Harris sign and be like, come on, guys, that's not why we're here. Cool it.
Not every once in a while, but yeah.
A lot. But and then to cap it off, I was walking down the street and it was this guy in a Rise of Skywalker hoodie, which like blew my mind more than anything else there. Maybe he was just like, oh, now's the day when
now's
no one will notice my Rise of Skywalker hoodie.
There's no better time, I guess.
No better time. Now more than ever.
I just want to say, though, I mean, I've seen this sentiment shared online. It's okay to feel joy and celebrate his loss while also being critical of this incoming administration and worried about the state of this country. And it's okay to have all of those emotions at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it
is just so powerful. I mean, when Obama won, we didn't have people pouring into the streets to dance and celebrate. It's just a real testament as to how fucking hated this awful creature is.
Yeah, that's anyway. The thing. I was listening to Knowledge Fight, which is my favorite podcast, and it talks about, like, they go over what Alex Jones is doing at all times. And, like, one of his employees at InfoWars made the point that, like, the election has to have been faked, because can you imagine Joe Biden getting the most votes that any presidential candidate has ever gotten? And it's like, no, Joe Biden cannot inspire that kind of loyalty. But Donald Trump can inspire that amount of hate.
Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We love it.
We love to see it.
Don't we?
I mean, like, there's a lot of people who are extremely happy to have Kamala in the White House. And, you know, that's not necessarily people being like, I love every single one of her policies, but I love that she is there.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that we have the first woman in the White House, let alone a person of color, is, of course, an incredible monument that we should be proud of. It just sucks that it is her.
I don't know. As a white guy, I'm not going to comment. Like, obviously, if there's people who feel good because of that, then that's good.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people posting. I have a video of a friend with a little girl, and Kamala said her speech about, you know, girls in the White House.
Won't
and the little girl
last.
Turned around. And the little girl turned around and said, I'm a little girl.
Yeah.
So I push back from the standpoint of showing people, women, what's possible. The fact that it means a lot to a lot of people. That's cool. That can be true.
I'm
but
also glad
also
it's not
we
Hillary.
Can do better. And also, yes.
I mean, yeah, they're both narcs.
Yeah, well, that's the point, right? It's that even women can be powerful monsters, right?
Yeah. I am excited for the first girl power drone strike on a school bus in Yemen.
Exactly. That's what we're praying for. That's what
But I also I do think the point, Katie, that I think I in my fucking irony and joy poisoned leftist brain have trouble. Like it is true that a little kid seeing somebody who looks like them in a position of power like that when they've never seen that before, it does matter, and that little kid doesn't know about the horrible things Kamala Harris did to trans people as the AG of California, and hopefully will learn, but will still grow up with the feeling that they are as equal a partner in their democracy as any white person or any man, and that is good. So I don't want to. I'm just an asshole, and I'm just gonna
I mean, we agree with each other. I just think it's important because. To acknowledge that, because that is a cool achievement. It just sucks that it's her. I'll just keep saying that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, it would have been
but
good if it was.
But it's not Hillary.
Yeah.
That's what I keep saying in my head as my pat on the back, feel better about life sentence.
Yeah. You know who is Hillary Clinton?
Hillary Clinton.
Yep. So what's next? What are we doing next?
I can go.
Can we do the fun?
I can talk. Yeah.
Can we do it? Can we do it, please?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Katie, do a fun thing and then please. I'll do a sad thing.
I'm going to do it. You guys. It's cool. I'm going to do it now. I wanted to start today. Well, we could talk a little bit about the legal shenanigans that Trump is trying to fabricate, but
I think first
we should talk about Four Seasons Total Landscaping.
Hell yeah!
Is this story old now? Yes, but it's never going to not be funny.
It's never going to get old.
Never. So we're just going to enjoy it every last morsel, really slurp it up.
I am an old man on my deathbed in 4 years. I think the last joyful thought that crosses my mind as the blackness overtakes me will be remembering that time Trump held a press conference that Rudy Giuliani had to speak at for an hour in a landscaping company's parking lot.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. If you guys missed this on Saturday, Trump team announced a press conference from his legal team that happened to coincide to the hour with the calling of the election and Joe Biden's win. And the president first tweeted that it would be happening at the Four Seasons in Philly.
I love the Four Seasons in Philly.
Love it. But that tweet was quickly deleted and amended to be the Four Seasons Total Landscaping.
Amazing. Perfect.
And
Hilton Bait and Tackle.
This landscaping company happens to be nestled between a crematorium and a porn shop, which in and of itself is so stunning.
And the Waldorf AutoZone.
Was that there too?
Oh my God.
No, he's making a Waldorf Astoria joke.
So okay. There's been a lot of speculation about how we got there. And I don't know, maybe you guys have heard different stories. But according to the New York Times, the mistake was not in the booking, although we don't know. I'm going to say this is all what they've put together. The mistake was not in the booking, but in a garbled game of telephone. I guess Giuliani and Corey Lewandowski told Trump that the conference was being held at Four Seasons Total Landscaping, but he heard what he wanted to hear because, of course, he did. And then they also reported that the campaign had always intended to hold a news conference in a friendlier part of town because the area near the Philadelphia Convention Center, where they'd been counting all the ballots, had been swamped with Biden supporters. And I guess they'd tried to do conferences there earlier in the week, but they kept being drowned out by people blasting music over them. And so they chose something in the only pro-Trump enclave in town. Anyway, that's one version of the story that's been put forward. But I still have my money on total accidental booking of it.
Yeah.
I would not take that bet. I think you would win that money.
I think
Either version of it is funny to me, though.
We talked with Billy Wayne Davis earlier for another show, and he pointed out that there is a Trump hotel in Philadelphia, and
that
it's
is
very
such
nice.
A good point. That is such a good point.
I think it's very clear that what happened is the president tweeted something, either having told someone to get the Four Seasons and not gotten confirmation that they could, And then they found out that no, the Four Seasons right. can't or isn't willing, and could not handle the thought of being wrong. And so, yeah, they went with the landscaping company.
Which
like
is
that
still
almost
wrong.
Has to be what happened.
But it's, yeah, I mean, the version that this is floated, I'm like, is this something that they're floating as the cover? Or, you know, I just love it and I can't get enough. And then.
No, it'll never not be the funniest thing that's ever happened.
It got even better this week when our friends in the furry community made a delightful VR chat room where furry avatars romped around outside Four Seasons, total landscaping, you know, mocking the whole debacle. If you guys haven't seen it, please look it up.
Yeah, absolutely. What?
Thanks to our friends, the furries, the focus of the only actual episode of the show as we, we ever got to do.
Anyway.
Yeah, the plan, and then, yeah.
That
it was a good
fun.
Plan. It was a great episode.
It was a really good plan. Really good episode.
It definitely kind of people paid attention to that more than what was talked about there in general because it's so dumb. But you know,
dumb.
What's not funny?
It got dumber.
It got dumber. It's getting continuously dumber. But what's not funny is this administration's refusal to accept the results of the election and their mounting attempts to undermine it by fabricating claims of voter fraud. I mean, maybe you find that funny. I don't know.
I, for one, am shocked that the guy who in 2016 refused to commit to accepting the results of the election is refusing to accept the results of an election.
I'm shocked by it.
It's whoa. Very surprising. Really out of character whoa. For the man who's been talking about this for years.
I love the tweets. There's always a tweet, but basically a tweet from 2016. I retweeted it. Vladimir Putin says Hillary. It's basically saying not conceding is humiliating.
Yeah. He also tweeted right. about the Electoral College in 2012, I believe.
Sure, there's a tweet for everything.
How it's awful. Yeah, it is. It's a tired meme, but it's always true. It's frustratingly always true. It doesn't matter either because you can show him that tweet and be like, I don't know what Twitter is, and then we'll forget about it. But
yeah, so this is Trump. Our campaign will start prosecuting our case in court to ensure election laws are fully upheld and the rightful winner is seated. The American people are entitled to an honest election. That means counting all legal ballots and not counting any illegal ballots. Oh, his Twitter feed, by the way, has been just something else.
Unhinged.
Off the charts. Yeah. I am the winner.
We're fully hinged and unsettling.
I just don't trust anybody who tweets in all caps that often. It's just very creepy. Very creepy.
Hey. I'm sorry. Caps lock is caps cruise lock. Control for cool.
No.
That's how you get your point across.
As of now, they've filed many lawsuits. I'm not going to go into details in all of them, but Pennsylvania, Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, all bullshit reasons like lack of transparency or use of Sharpies, which, by the way, use of Sharpies, that's only at like one polling precinct that they did that.
And it's fine.
It's fine. It's actually better. It's better for the machines because a normal pen smudges and a Sharpie dries really fast. Anyway, it's not going well because, of course, it's not. You're not going to be able to do a lawsuit based on nothing. You're not going to get traction. And apparently, even some of his lawyers are starting to get nervous and waffly about it. you guys might have heard of Jones Day. It's a big firm. They represent bad clients, or they call them controversial. You know, like big tobacco or the Bin Laden family. I know lawyers represent people that have fucked up. So whatever.
Yeah. But everybody needs a lawyer. Everybody needs their lawyer.
There's been some reporting.
Let's do away with that.
I don't want to be a say controversial.
There's been some reporting that they're worried that you know to be they're worried that they might be helping Trump undermine American elections and whatnot.
Why would they worry about that? That's why a weird would they worry about that? That's so
but
weird.
Then today they released a statement saying that. Basically saying that they're not affiliated with Trump at all, but rather the Pennsylvania GOP in their fight against the mail-in ballots deadline, which to me is basically the same thing, undermining democracy, but while at the same time trying to distance themselves from Donald Trump.
Yeah, the cowards.
That's how I perceived it. I don't know.
Yeah, they're, I mean, they're all there's calculation. There are calculations going on. There have been since election day. How do we jump ship? Where do the rats go?
Am I a little rat?
Do I put on a little top hat? Do I try to pretend I'm like a tiny little puppy? Do I commit to being a rat? It's all, you know, they're all doing their own.
I don't know
there.
Who tweeted this. Some senator saying that a lot of Republican colleagues have come up to mm-hmm. them and said, please give our congratulations to Biden. We would say it, but we can't yet.
Yep.
What the fucking bunch of like
cowards. Yep.
Chris Coons is
shoots them into the sun.
Uh-huh.
I'd love to.
Yeah.
No more. None of them.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry, but this just gets to a problem, which is that, like, if we're going to continue to have a democracy and have any hope of the world getting better, the Republican Party has to be completely destroyed as an institution, and all of its present elected leaders who have not been screaming this entire time about how fucked up shit is,
yeah,
need to no longer have any sort of political career,
yeah,
or any other career. These fucking gormless, gutless wretches. It's just like,
it's disgusting.
Fuck you people, and fuck anyone who feels good because they like sneak up and are like, hey, I actually think it's okay that Biden got elected, but because of the fascism, I can't say anything. Like, you fucking God, I have so many of these people I want to fucking hit in the face. It's okay to do. Sorry.
No, you're. I mean, they're vile cowards. Any mention of that, and like that person shouldn't work anymore in politics. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Any attempt to say that is now being framed as fascism. It's actually fascism. To like note who helped usher it in, to note who helped maintain it for as long as
it
can.
Is not
that's actually doing a fascism. Yeah.
No, I don't want to punish them. For their what they've said, I want to punish them for the criminal actions that they have taken.
Yeah.
Mm.
And refusing to enthusiastically and loudly abide by the fucking Constitution as an elected lawmaker, which they're doing, is a fucking crime. Like,
I agree.
Drumming up this fucking bullshit, distrust in the system, is a crime. And it will have a body count. And these people should be fucking... Again, we need a federal bureau who just goes around hitting people right in the fucking jaw.
That's productive.
Yep.
Like, get that guy from Guardians of the Galaxy. What's his name? The MMA guy. Bring him in. He'll do it. Have him just punch people right in the fucking jaw.
He hasn't worked in a while. Yeah.
Department of Nazi punching.
Yeah.
Guys, we have to take a quick break for an ad, I think, about right now.
I can't wait.
We do in the show.
So then we're going to do that now.
Good
but
call.
Stick around for more after.
You got it.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
And we're back from that break, as promised.
Yay.
We made a promise, or I made a promise for you guys, and legally you are bound to all of my promises and also my lease, that car
that
I bought on credit. This is the contract that we signed, and it's fine. But one of the promises that I made that isn't in relation to my gambling debts, which you guys are also on the hook for, as a heads up.
What?
Is that we were going to, after the election, talk about the things that would be better and the things that also would be worse with Biden as president than with Trump. And I don't have that episode ready, and maybe we'll just kind of split it up into pieces because it's actually quite a lot of work. But when I was, prior to the election, talking about expressing my feelings on Twitter that, broadly speaking, things would be better with Biden, someone reached out to me who had a family in Cuba and family, and I think it was Bolivia. And expressed their feeling that they did not believe things would get better. They thought they would get things would get better for Americans, but that things would be worse for people in a lot of places overseas if Biden was in power.
Right.
Because Biden's broadly speaking competent, or at least capable of hiring competent people. And when competent people are in power in the U.S. government, they do coups and stuff.
Yeah, no, there's, I mean, literally yeah. there's that tweet from that senator who was talking yeah. about the incompetent coup attempt and how, yeah. like, incompetent American imperialism is what we had, and now we're going to get back to the competent kind.
So I want to talk about something Joe Biden is a part of. And this is not a thing, like, we're actually not going to talk about Biden at all because he's not a driving force behind this, but he is a part of it. It is a thing that he approved of. It is a thing that he has mentioned a couple of times, was a good idea and worked out very well. And it is a thing that is emblematic of the kind of foreign policy that we can expect out of a guy who thinks the way Joe Biden does. It's called Plan Colombia. Have y'all ever heard of this?
No.
Okay, so, you know, Colombia.
Am I the only one with the guts to answer? Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, Cody, no, you fucking
no.
coward.
No, I'm getting, I said, I'm saying no, I'm getting my cord. I love you.
I love you too. Thank you. So, it's kind of, Colombia, you know, some problems as a country, what with the Escobars and the cocaine and the like, actually a real big deal. And they also have a little bit of a problem with a group called the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC, F-A-R-C, not the website. I mean, the website actually exists to funnel money to the militant group, but that's a story for another day. Anyone remember FARC? No, that's fine.
FARC.com?
It was a joke. Yes, it was a joke. They don't funnel money to the FARC.
The FARC of Dig, FARC.com?
Love a joke that has to be clarified.
I know.
Anyway.
I know. It was not a good joke. So
I'm kidding.
Yeah, so the FARC is like a, or FARC, I'm just going to call them FARC. It's like a leftist, like a left-wing militant movement trying to take over Colombia, right? Which you can feel about however you feel about, depending on your feelings towards left-wing militant movements. I will say that the Colombian government has been dominated by right-wingers for quite a while, in large part as a result of the School of the Americas and all of the death squads and stuff that were trained vis-a-vis that.
God.
I'm not gonna like whitewash this Marxist group, which has done some bad things, but the government of Colombia has done a lot more bad things. Anyway, so you got this militant group, the FARC, and in 2001, they control like a third of Colombia. Their army is like 20,000 plus fighters, and the government has been completely incapable, really, of shutting them down. And one of the things that made FARC powerful was the cocaine trade, because once Escobar got killed, like a bunch of different people fell into the mix to kind of pick up, because like cocaine was still going to get sold. Mm-hmm. And FARC was like the group that was most successful in taking over the cocaine trade and using it to fund their guerrilla war, right? Which is fine. I have no problem with selling cocaine to fund a militant insurgency to overthrow the government. I think it's a great, actually probably the best thing to do with cocaine. So 2001, FARC is kind of at its high point, and the U.S. government does what the U.S. government does when a left-wing movement is gaining power in Latin America and says, we should probably deal with this. And out of this comes Plan Colombia. So Plan Colombia, in short, was the United States financing, training the Colombian military, providing them with, like intelligence service, like hooking them up to the U.S. intelligence apparatus so that they know what's going on and can like track the movements of FARC, and giving them these, they're called packages. They're like guided missiles, that they can use to assassinate rebel leaders. So a bunch of stuff in Plan Colombia, but it's the kind of shit that we've seen a bunch before. Like the U.S. government comes in and says, like, we don't like the guys you're fighting. Let's make your army capable of killing them. And also we'll give you air support right. and shit. So the three objectives of Plan Colombia were, number one, to diminish the cultivation and production and trafficking of illicit drugs by 50%. That was their stated goal, to bring an end to the violent conflict, because a lot of people had died in this civil war. And number three, to cause economic growth and develop rural Colombia, because it was like an incredibly impoverished area, which is why the cocaine trade was such a big deal for this part of the country, because they didn't have any fucking money. So three goals. You want to guess which ones got accomplished?
Oh, Robert.
None of them really, but they killed a lot of left-wing guerrillas. they murdered a shitload of leftists. But yeah, no, they didn't really succeed at most of the other things. And it's interesting the ways in which they failed. So Plan Colombia, the way that they measured the success of their efforts in destroying the drug trade was by reducing the cultivation area of coca crops, right? So the amount of land that's spent to grow cocaine, or the plant that turns into cocaine, reducing that was how they would determine whether or not they had cut drug trafficking by 50%. And if you look at it by that, it looks pretty good. There were 160,000 hectares under cult. Huh? What's up, Cody?
Okay, continue. All right.
So there
Let's
were
just
100.
Grow less of it. Okay?
Let's stop them from growing as much of it. That'll right. stop drug trafficking. Okay. So they in 2000, there's about 160,000 hectares of coca under cultivation in Colombia. And by 2006, there's just 74,000. That's almost 50%.
Hey,
that's a great.
Or,
no, that is 50. That's more than 50%. I'm bad at math. That's good, right? Great. We did it. No more cocaine. That's why you can't buy cocaine.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Efficient. Let's do it again more elsewhere. All
yeah.
places.
Now, here's the problem with that. And I'm going to quote from the Oxford Research Group here. The intensified aerial spraying, which is how they would kill cocaine from the air, did not have any significant effects on cocaine production, which only decreased by 5.3% in the period of implementation. Innovative production processes increased the productivity of coca per hectare, and the increased coca supply from Bolivia and Peru provided input substitutes for Colombian producers of illicit drugs. So there was actually almost no meaningful reduction whatsoever in the amount of cocaine produced by Colombia, which was one of the goals.
Yeah.
Now, the other goal was to reduce violence. And, of course, the FARC was not wiped out, but beaten so badly that, and all of their leaders killed, that they had to come to the negotiating table and basically give everything up. Like, they were negotiating about how they would hand in their guns. They didn't get shit. They got beaten because suddenly the government had U.S. air power and U.S. special forces and death squads and shit. But does that mean... So does that mean it was a success that the Plan Colombia saved lives and stopped the war, stopped the civil war, saved a lot of people?
I think I haven't been listening to any of this, so I'm going to guess. Yeah, it worked.
Well, I'm going to quote from the Oxford Research Group again. Plan Colombia's effects on violence reduction were also rather ambiguous. The increased militarization meant that violence from illegal armed groups decreased substantially over the time of implementation. So that's good, right? The FARC is an illegal armed group, and their violence decreased from 489 cases of human rights violations in 2000 to just 168 in 2006. That's great.
That's less.
Now,
it's less.
It's probably worth noting that illegal right-wing paramilitaries in 2000 were responsible for 1,191 cases of human rights violations, which you might notice is more than twice as many as the FARC was guilty of.
That sounds more, yeah.
And they were decreased to 510, which is more than the FARC was committing at their height.
That's more. That sounds like more now, still.
Now I'm confused and don't know what to think.
That still decreases in violence, though, which is good, right?
If you increase more and then you decrease, so it's less but still more than it was before you increased, does that count?
Well, Cody, let me just read a little bit more here. The decreases in human rights violations by the illegal armed groups, as well as dramatic decreases in some of the main violence indicators, such as the homicide rate, 43% decrease, the number of kidnappings, 95% decrease, and the number of massacres, 71.4% decrease, are arguments for the Colombian and U.S. governments to call Plan Colombia a success in reducing violence, which is why Biden calls it a success. Yeah.
These are points
that have been made.
However, human rights violations of the public forces, military, and police increased substantially from 270 cases in 2000 to 758 cases in 2006.
Worse.
For example, between 2004 and 2008, army troops extrajudicially executed more than 3,000 peasants, farmers, activists, and community leaders, and then dressed them in FARC uniforms and claimed they were killed in battle.
So it's not the terrorists are gone, but the government becomes the terrorists.
It's the thing. And Biden will say, like, we decreased violence in Colombia. And it's like, you decreased illegal violence by increasing legal violence.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same kind of logic of Trump's great, like, so many jobs we got. Well, yeah, you lost all those jobs.
Yeah. Yes, of course they're gaining back because the economy cratered.
Like, that's great.
Yeah.
Increasing it, though.
Now, the horrible violence that the Colombian military has executed with the enthusiastic help and support of both Republicans and Democrats. Remember, this is not a partisan issue in the United States.
No, it's bipartisan, absolutely.
Like, at least within the main two parties. during the years of Planned Columbia, there were like about 300,000 people in place displaced internally per year. And that's up until I think like 2010 or 11. And yeah, the third thing, so like, again, hundreds of thousands of people, people displaced for a year, just forced out of villages to try to deny the rebels operating space, which is, you know, a war crime. Mm. And the third thing that Planned Columbia was supposed to do was alleviate rural poverty.
Well, they did that then.
Oh.
There are less
rural people.
But
they're all poor still.
But there's less of them, so.
It didn't really do that. That's all I'm going to say. It did not really do that. It's, broadly speaking, been bad. It's been good by the perspective of, I guess, the United States government, who stopped a left-wing movement from gaining power in a part of the global south. So I guess the kind of people in the whatever deep state, whatever you want to call them, tend to like
the
that sort
state.
Of thing.
Yeah.
But it was not, on balance, good for Colombia at all. In fact, it was real
this
bad.
This country fucking sucks.
Is this the kind of thing that maybe happens often? Like this, not this
yes.
exact thing, but maybe like things like
yeah.
this that sort of just happen yeah. all the time.
I mean, again, see the episodes on the School of the Americas that we did in Behind the Bastards. Again, we have other things we'll talk about throughout the rest of this year that we'll be doing the show that are things that will be as bad or worse under Biden as they were under Trump. This is one of them. Biden is not going to stop doing this sort of shit. Biden is going to approve. And like, you know, we saw what a Trump attempted coup in Venezuela looked like and in Bolivia.
Yeah,
well, I don't know how much
yeah.
Trump was involved in Bolivia, but a lot of people, like, I'm not going to weigh into that one. But we've seen two coups, one of which the U.S. government definitely was involved in, one of which they were probably at least a little involved in, and they were both really incompetent. Maybe we'll talk about Honduras next
time,
you know?
Yeah, well, because also when these things happen under Trump, because rightfully so, Orange Man bad, like, that's true.
Yeah.
It's just a true thing about him. But when things happen like that under somebody like him, people are like, well, that's bad. He shouldn't do that. But when it's a respectable politician like Joe Biden, who we love, folks, we love him.
We love
him. Well, if they're even paying attention.
Exactly.
They don't care enough to notice.
Biden has talked about Plan Columbia. Yeah.
And if these things happen, then they're generally supported because, Joe is, he's a respectable.
He's a good
president.
Guy.
He does it presidentially. Trump does it like fucking Donald Trump. So it's not going to get the kind of pushback or perspective or spotlight that maybe a Trump action might.
But you know what will get a spotlight, Cody?
Putting on a show. It's your solo time. You're talking about ads, aren't you?
Yeah, but I did enjoy the jazz hands you just gave.
Thank you. It's ad time. Goodbye.
Welcome to the worst year ever.
Ugh, those ads. I don't know about y'all, but I am just so aroused capitalism.
Yeah.
Capitalism
horny
has
AF.
Engorged me. Absolutely. Thirsty for products.
I'm going to go come some money on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of coming money, let's talk a little bit more about the U.S. government's actions in Colombia. So I wanted to get it. So I've explained what, broadly speaking, what Plan Colombia was and why it was bad. I had been planning to do a Behind the Bastards episode on it. I've read like half of a book on it, and then the plague hit and other things overcame my mind. We'll get back to it one of these days. But I wanted to make it clear just kind of exactly where Joe Biden himself is within this horrible thing that killed a shitload of people, because I think that's important. And I'm going to quote from an article in The Intercept on Joe Biden's foreign policy. And this is about Plan Colombia. Biden championed the legislation as member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and in a way, the plan was a continuation of the anti-drug measures he'd promoted throughout the 1980s as a member of the Judiciary Committee. Domestically, as a tough-on-crime senator, Biden pushed for more policing, even criticizing Reagan for not locking up enough people. In Latin America, efforts Biden backed played out as whack-a-mole strategies, with the DEA and international partners chasing drug traffickers from one route to another, but doing little to curb total production, demand, or the northward flow of drugs. Plan Colombia only increased the emphasis on a heavy-handed, militarized response to the drug problem, pushing production and trafficking routes from more isolated to more populated parts of Colombia. As Stephen D. Cohen put it recently in The Baffler, Plan Colombia was in effect to global South pacification what the 1994 crime bill had been to domestic policing. This past January, during a primary campaign stop, Biden said to the Des Moines Register, "I'm the guy who put together Plan Colombia," which, given the legacy of the plan, might sound like a confession, but was certainly meant as a boast. Just in case you're wondering the degree to which Joe Biden knows what was happening over there.
Yeah, he does that a lot. In that,
and
he's lying about that.
But
lying about things and sort of taking credit for things that actually suck and are bad.
But yeah, he played a significant role in it for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Joe Biden. Our beautiful new man president. So we talked a little bit earlier about how perhaps going back to the normalcy of right before Donald Trump was elected president is maybe not the smartest and safest thing to do in order to prevent that from not happening again. And this is there's a lot of speculation out there on his moves, what he's going to do. With his cabinet and things like that. So some of this is a grain of salt. He has started to put together a transition team. I don't know if you've been online hearing what people on the news are saying.
Trying not to.
Hearing what, like, let's say John Kasich has to say about what the Democrats should do.
No, thank you.
Famed leftist John Kasich. I remember during the Portland uprising when he flipped that cop car and threw a Molotov into the Justice Center.
Exactly.
Real radical, that John.
We're thinking of the same person.
We need to thank John Kasich for everything he did to not flip Ohio.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
Thank
you,
John.
For all of your hard work. We need to thank the Lincoln Project for all of their hard work, making sure that not 90% of Republicans vote for Donald Trump like they did in 2016, but rather 93% of Republicans vote for Donald Trump in 2020. Thank
you. Hats off to you, kind sirs.
Hats off to Mr. Project for all of their good help. And so that is expected. This is all expected stuff. The framing of how actually like going to the right and getting those Republicans is actually what helped. And your Medicare for all, your defund the police, all that stuff. That's what made us almost lose. I don't even know how they're framing it. It's nonsense. It's very frustrating because the seats that were won in the House by Democrats, largely DSA or DSA style candidates. And the inside plan is to purge all of that nonsense in favor of this more respectable, I guess, Republican-friendly way of governing, which is not new to the Democrats. One might posit that it had something to do with arriving at Donald Trump. One might posit that doing that in general is maybe not what needs to happen when, as Robert, you were talking about earlier, and what Republicans are currently doing and what they did and what they're trying to pretend to be. They're trying to pretend to be respectable now and reasonable. And Mr. Biden, he loves eating it up. And so it's just generally frustrating, even John Ossoff, who we'll probably talk about in the future
as well.
Because that is like that is an important race because it's the difference between being able to do anything. But he even to the interview with him today talking about how like I don't want this, I'm against this, and those are like things like the Green New Deal, Medicare for all, all things that poll really high, at least according to exit polls in his state that he is running in.
Right.
Exit polls are exit polls, they're early, so don't take them at face value necessarily. Also, with so much mail-in voting, it's very hard to really put too much stock into them. But these ideas are popular, and shying away from them is how you don't invigorate the base that you want to invigorate and get new voters in. It's how you get from 90% of Republicans in 2016 to 93% of Republicans in 2020. Just a few notes on Joe Biden's transition team coming up. Some beautiful, beautiful
exec. We have Meg Whitman.
Meg Whitman we're thinking might be in the cabinet, so fingers crossed there. Republican former CEO of Quibi,
the founder. The famously
founder of Quibi. Yeah.
You know, I could use a Quibi of politics.
Mm-hmm. Just a quibby of it.
Yeah, just a quibby. Like the Biden administration will be a nice little quibby in between two fascist regimes.
Exactly. Just a quibby of neoliberalism to usher in the new fascist regime. We're very excited.
Yeah, just a quibby of it,
folks.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
God, they really thought that. Let's just for a second. They really thought that was going to be a thing. Like people were going to Google quibby. Like, yeah. My
God. And start using, I'm going to get a quibby. I love watching television and movies only on my phone for
but
5 minutes.
But take those razor sharp instincts, put them in the cabinet.
Yeah, exactly. Let's take that and put it into America.
She's got her finger on the pulse.
It's wild because it's also like that is the way of thinking of Donald Trump was a businessman. Let's put him in charge of the country. He was a failed businessman. And it was a bad idea. And it's just the same kind of like, well, yeah, let's get the Quibi lady in there. It's so wild.
She's a big donor.
Oh, of course. I mean, exactly.
Yeah, with all of her Quibi money.
Exactly.
You mean all of her Quibbies?
All of her, yeah. Just a Quibi of dollars. A fistful of Quibbies.
You know, instead of like Googling Quibi and making it into a term that way, what if we Santorumed Quibi?
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I don't know if I want to start using Quibi.
I got a real hard
way.
Quibi, and my Ooh. Anus has not stopped bleeding.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
the kind of Quibi where like you can't really sit down or stand up because you got Quibied so hard.
Right, you need gloves and disinfectant and
because the Quibi's gonna get infected real bad when you Quibi everywhere.
When you're
Quibbying
right.
When you're
Quibbying
right,
right,
boys.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
All right, boys. I'm stepping in here.
Okay.
Do you have more thoughts about quibbying or
no.
being quibbied?
Why
or,
are we still talking about this?
Because it's
very funny.
Important.
It is funny.
For our nation to heal.
But I do recognize that I started this tangent that Cody wasn't going to talk about this at all, and Cody prepared other things to say.
I love talking about Quibi.
Okay.
So thank you. No, it's people like her. It's executives from Lyft, Airbnb, Amazon. JP Morgan, Chase, Uber, Visa. All
really,
these,
really aggravating.
Yeah, it's incredibly aggravating and incredibly expected. That's the most frustrating part is that, like, yeah, of course
Lyft?
That's going to happen.
What?
No, not CEOs
are
necessarily.
Any,
just like
relatives on that list. Are we going to have any in?
We don't have yet confirmation of Secretary of Education Hunter Biden, but fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
Either way, I think Hunter Biden's going to be the Secretary of Education, even if Trump somehow pulls out a win.
And you know what?
Exactly. He'll still do
steps
it.
Steps above Betsy DeVos, fucking bitch ass.
No, because I don't think Hunter Biden is absolutely a crack addict. Absolutely has used his father's name in order to make money. Probably hires prostitutes, which is fine as long as they're of age. But I don't think that Hunter Biden actively hates children.
So in that, she is better than Betsy DeVos.
Yeah.
Yep. He nailed it. He's good. He's good, actually, for that position specifically.
Yeah.
Keep it coming, Cody. Let's do this.
Do you want to?
All right. Let's do it. Just one more quibby of info, Cody.
Just one more quibby. One more quibby.
We've got a quibby left.
And then we'll tie a little knot on that quibby, and then we'll quibby it through the Postal Service.
Someone tally up how many times we've said quibby.
Speaking
more
of the Postal
than
Service,
anyone's watched quibby. Sorry.
I mean, speaking of the Postal Service, though, this is going to keep happening. One of the postal workers that has been talking about how all these ballots have been fabricated and tampered with admitted that they were lying. It's a Project Veritas scoop they're tampering. And it's, of course, once again, the Washington Post specifically poking holes in Project Veritas's bullshit. Anyway, that turned out to not be true. Very big surprise.
That's cool.
There.
No, like every single other scoop
like
of theirs.
Scoop of theirs.
Because the guy had to get questioned, and he would have gotten in legal trouble if he'd lied.
That's how it happens.
There's a quote that this just came out. Yeah, this is from the House Oversight Committee.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Breaking news, Erie, Pennsylvania USPS whistleblower completely recanted his allegations of a supervisor tampering with mail-in ballots after being questioned by investigators, according to IG. Here are the facts. Richard Hopkins is a USPS employee in Erie, Pennsylvania. He signed a sworn affidavit with allegations of ballot tampering fraud and went public through Project Veritas. The IG began investigating this week. IG investigators informed committee staff today that they interviewed Hopkins on Friday, but that Hopkins recanted his allegations yesterday and did not explain why he signed a false affidavit. I might know why.
Is this the one example that they have for all of their claims?
No, there's more bullshit out there. This is just one of the beautiful ones because it's Project Veritas once again, just like falling flat on their ass with their lies and misrepresentation of videos and things, claims. But they will stick around forever because nothing matters. Speaking of nothing mattering, Amy Klobuchar is being considered by Joe Biden for Attorney General.
What?
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 Again.
What?
Grains of salt. We don't know. These are reports.
This is horrifying. Oh my God.
Amy Klobuchar is AG.
To all of us, God. Cody. You must feel terrible for doing that. How dare you tell me that?
It's going to be all of them. It's like in this again, like
God, he's going to make Beto the Secretary of Defense. I'm calling it now.
Like this is, I mean, that'll be Buttigieg probably.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, what do you want from me? It's like it was like the writing was on the wall in fucking March. They all consolidated against the other guy to get Joe Biden ahead.
And that was the deal they made.
That was the deal.
You just bombed us.
They made the deal. I didn't do it. They made the deal. I don't know. I think
Sanders is apparently lobbying hard to be labor secretary, which would be the absolutely the thing
That's
to do
the one.
With Bernie
yeah,
Sanders.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That ain't happening either.
No, what do you bet? Yeah, I mean, fingers crossed.
I don't. I don't
if
think
he
it's,
wants us to swallow a Klobuchar AG.
But the thing is, and this is what Democrats understand, it doesn't matter. We will swallow anything they give us.
Yeah.
We can't do a fucking thing about it.
I'll stop my foot real loud, sir. I'll have you know.
Yeah. There's two restaurants in town, and one of them is, we will cut your genitals off and cook them in front of you and then execute you and your children. And the other is poop.
Have some poop.
And it's like, I'd prefer the poop. Yeah.
No. You love poop, actually. You love it. You eat it every day because you got to eat something. That's the thing, right? They got the calls, and then the next day, the team was like, Buttigieg dropped out. Chloe dropped out. And then they got something out of it. Maybe it was this. Maybe it's something else. Maybe they'll be disappointed and they won't get anything. And Bernie Sanders will be the president. But, It's nothing matters. Remember when Amy Klobuchar actually declined to prosecute the police officer who killed George Floyd? Okay. Oh, so you know what I was going to say. Okay.
I did. That's why I don't think it's possible for her to be AG.
Oh, it's possible. That's the beauty of America, Kate.
I do think that people probably. I would hope that people would like.
Not do that?
No.
Loudly dissent.
There will people being like, that's bullshit, but the majority of the party and the people who whose opinions matter will be like, hell yeah, Klobes, you did it.
Man, my good feelings about this weekend have already gone away.
but again, I prefaced this earlier, and we don't know. These are definitely all signals. We've been getting signals similar to this since the beginning of time, so maybe this won't be a thing that happens, but there are definitely conversations where nothing matters. Kamala Harris on stage was like, Joe Biden, you're racist, and you were racist to me specifically. And then when she was asked about it, she laughed about it. That was a debate. It didn't matter.
See,
Kamala Harris dropped out first. She dropped out first, and now she's the vice president. It's all nothing matters.
It's like, because there's even a way for that to work that would be like human and honorable, where Biden could have been like, I didn't think about things that way until she explained them to me. And I really respect that she was willing to show me the error of my ways. And she could have been like, I absolutely mean what I said. But Joe has grown. And like, the fact that he picked me proves that he's a man who's able to listen to. But instead, they do the
diet
version of what Trump did with Four Seasons.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. It because we are all diseased.
God, I hate this all so much.
It's the unhealthiest bullshit in the world.
I'm angry, and I think we should end the episode.
Well, I just want to say, I talk about anarchism a lot on these shows. And the hardest thing for me has been, like, there's a sizable chunk of anarchists that I know who are not electoralists and who do not vote and do not think anyone else should. And it's because of this bullshit. It's because they say, like, the system is horrible. The Plan Columbia shit will keep happening no matter what. And by perpetuating it in any way, you are a part of this, like, this engine of terror. You're part of holding up hierarchy, of holding up these unjust power structures. And I am not someone who says you shouldn't vote, because I do think it matters. And I think there are vulnerable people who are going to be less harmed under Biden. But the anarchists aren't wrong just because I don't agree with that aspect in all measures. They're not wrong because we should be just burning it all down. Like, on a moral level, there should be more things on fire than there are presently until things are better. Of course, I mean the fires, Minecraft.
You get your flint and steel, and you just, like, you right click on the block, and it's on fire.
Yeah, and it's very hard for me to get into the state of mind that I've had to be in this year, where I'm analyzing politics as, like, the thing that it is, as opposed to what I think it should be, and, like, trying to. I just don't like it.
It's bad. Well, also, it's easy to say, it's the easiest thing in the world to be like, well, obviously Donald Trump is bad, and obviously he lives in another reality.
Yeah.
That's easy. This is, in a way, more frustrating because it's less obvious, and more people are not as susceptible to understanding it. And
so I think what you're saying is congrats to Chuck Schumer. That's what you were saying?
Congratulations to Chuck Schumer. Re-elected.
Friend of the pod, Chuck Schumer. Absolutely. Yeah.
And Nancy Pelosi, I'm sure Nancy Chucky. Will stick around.
Oh, I can't wait for her to clap again.
Clap.
I mean, she keeps saying she's not going to, and then she keeps doing it.
Of course she does.
Yeah, because she has power and she's addicted to it, and it has broken her as it breaks every single person who gets
and
it.
And also terrified of actually executing that power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Incapable of effectively executing power, but needing to hold on to it no matter what.
Yeah.
Maybe we should abolish power.
I'm
going to use my power to tell you guys to plug where people can find you on the internet, because the episode's over. My back hurts. We got to end this, dudes.
All right.
Worst Year Pod. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
And where on the things.
And where can we find you, Katie?
I'm Katie Stoll online.
And Coates, where can we find you?
Dr. Mr. Cody on Twitter.com.
Nerd.
Robert.
All right.
Whitehouse.gov is my personal website.
Nice. Have a great day, guys.
Love you all.
Bye.
Everything's so dumb, and it's gonna get dumber.
Great.
I tried.
Yes.
Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.